You're listening to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In recent weeks, union locals at universities across BC have taken strike votes. Workers ranging from teaching assistants at the University of Victoria to custodial workers at the University of British Columbia have voted in favor of strike action. Many unionized workers at post-secondary institutions across the province have been without a contract for the past 2 years. Doug Spranger is a former longtime staff at the University of Victoria, and he's chairperson for the Canadian Union of Public Employees BC Universities Committee. And we've reached him by phone this morning in Victoria. Hello, Doug.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, thank you. Now, in the 25 years since you first started working at UVic, this is only the second time those union locals have voted to strike. Why have workers in general decided to vote for strike action right now?
Well, in the BC university sector, we have 10 QP locals at six primary institutions, not including the colleges that have been renamed as universities. And we haven't had collective agreements, we haven't had any success in negotiating improvements to our collective agreements since 2010. And so we have reached a point of frustration with our employers, first at UBC and now at UVic, taking strike votes to try to apply pressure to the employers to, come back to the table, and negotiate improvements to our collective agreements, and of course, line up with the other unions that are back in bargaining on money for 2012 through 2014.
What kind of improvements are you looking for?
Generally, in terms of the provincial goals with regard to QP locals at BC universities, dealing with inflation is a really key issue. Since the BC government, the BC Liberals came in 2001, we've had five of the years where we've had zeros with no wage increase of any kind, so inflation is key. Inflation and catch-up, actually, I think is the phrase that the BCGU is using. And then job security is paramount. We have found that the most recent edicts from the BC government to cut university funding is now having a very detrimental effect on jobs and on services to students. So inflation and job security and, to some degree, rationalizing benefit plans across the six institutions.
Now, there's a budgetary restriction that the Liberal government has placed on universities in recent years. It's called zero-sum mandate. What is that?
Well, the zero-sum mandate that has been around for some time in terms of bargaining, it was there in the 2006 bargaining in terms of making improvements to language. Zero-sum mandate really manifested itself in 2010 with all of the unions across the province was you had to sell something off in your collective agreement in order to get a wage increase, or you had to sell something off in your collective agreement to make improvements of any monetary basis whatsoever. So you saw the BCGU and the big health unions settle two-year agreements where they maybe moved a few things around in their collective agreement, but essentially they were zero-sum. They were zero and zero, no new funding.
So can you give me an example of what that would look like? When you say sell something off, I mean, what kind of issues are we talking about?
Well, I'm going to refer back, I guess, to the 2010 bargaining, in terms of, the other big unions, in that we saw unions reduce vacation entitlements, make adjustments to periods when employees would receive LTD, and make other adjustments to benefit plans in order to generate revenue, so to speak, that could be put into wage increases. So in health, for example, so that licensed professional nurses could receive wage increases, those unions made reductions in benefit plans or vacation entitlements. So that's what's called zero sum. We did hear a representative from the BCGU describe it as buying your own dog.
Yeah, that's a good characterization.
It is.
Why are the negotiations taking so long?
Well, at BC universities, we insisted that we were not going to rush to zeros. We understood that the province wasn't going to approve a financial mandate other than zero and zero. We told our employers at the six institutions that, frankly, if there was zero and zero, we wanted to see significant language improvements to protect the health and welfare and the climate, the working environment for our members. And we've seen very, very little movement at any of those tables. We say if it's going to be zero and zero for 2010 to 2012, you have to do something else other than money. Now that we're past the two-year mark and we're into essentially a four-year collective agreement for QP locals at BC universities, we're, of course, looking for money to deal with inflation and catch up in the third and fourth year, which for the other unions really is a new two-year agreement.
What's the impact on workers if the whole process is dragged out for so long?
Well, it's been a very long and painful process for workers at BC universities because members understood that there probably wouldn't be a wage increase, but they were really hopeful that there would be other improvements to the collective agreement. When that became impossible to achieve, and we informed members of our union locals that we would have to look at a four-year agreement, pressure built very rapidly, and strike votes were taken at two locals at UBC, both what we term the inside and outside workers, and two locals at UVic, one of which being mine. I represent office technical and childcare workers at UVic. We took a strike vote, as did our counterpart, which represent maintenance, foods, and trades and grounds here at UVic. So we have four strike votes in place at two campuses, and the pressure is certainly building on those employers. And my understanding is that the other four campuses are now starting to move towards that as well.
How would you characterize the overall approach of Christy Clark's government to university funding?
Well, I think, frankly, that it's a very misguided approach to first freeze government funding for universities, which they did for the last few years, and now insist that they're going to cut funding. It really is cutting at the heart of the future of young British Columbians and their ability to have successful careers in the province. It's almost like the province is not interested in having a well-educated group of young people moving into the economy. And so by cutting university budgets, we're seeing at the University of Victoria, we had cuts of 1.5% to 2% in the last year, which resulted in layoffs. We're told the next 2 years are cuts of 4% and 5%, which is going to generate a significant layoffs. Layoffs of QP members mean that services to students will be impacted directly. If they're office jobs, we're going to be able to, there's going to be much longer lineups. If there are other kinds of jobs in terms of physical plant maintenance, the ability to keep classrooms clean and that sort of thing will really be impacted by this very ideologically incorrect attitude of the Christy Clark government.
How have university administrators been responding to the cuts coming from the provincial government?
Well, the administrators at the six core universities did write a joint letter to government protesting the cuts, but it seems very half-hearted because they won't work with their QP locals and their other employee groups to do joint letters and to jointly pressure the government. And in fact, it seems like university administrators are quite prepared to make the cuts to services. It's part of the ideology of cutting public services and ultimately leading to privatization.
Now, as you've mentioned several times, you're bargaining for contracts that started years ago, let's say in 2010, which could mean that any new agreements would possibly also expire very soon. In that case, these same unions would be bargaining again a second time straight away for current contracts. What would that mean for you?
Well, right now, for the unions that did settle their collective agreements in 2010, they're back at the bargaining table in 2012 for two-year agreements. So we're essentially doing a 2 plus 2 equals 4 in the university sector, also in the QP college sector as well. There's unsettled agreements from 2010. So I think the idea is that the government wants to ensure that the expiry dates of collective agreements go past the provincial election in 2013 and that those agreements expire in 2014. That's coming up pretty fast in terms of getting back to the bargaining table, I think symptomatic of a government that's in free fall. It's basically saying, if the BC Liberals get reelected in May of 2013, they'll be back to hammer us some more.
What do you expect to happen on campuses in the coming months?
Well, I think that there's every indication that with the strike votes at UBC and UVic that there will be job action taken at those two campuses and that we'll see strike votes and job actions starting to be taken at other campuses as well. Certainly here at UVic, I want to say that we have want to be sure that we make every effort to disrupt the administration and the various caste streams that come to the university, but not disrupt students in the early part of any job action. Students, we've been networking very closely with undergraduate and graduate student societies, and they are very supportive of us bargaining fair and reasonable collective agreements, and they will support broader job action in September if necessary.
How can people who are listening who would like to support you do that?
Well, there's certainly two very precise ways that can be supportive. Community members, you know, certainly in your prime audience base in the Lower Mainland, can certainly write the senior administrators, the presidents of the universities at UBC and Sam Fraser, and insist that they get back to the table with their CUPE locals to bargain fair and reasonable agreements. We can also encourage letter writing to the president of the University of Victoria, David Turpin. I guess ultimately, though, really is government controls all of the purse strings as far as any part of the monetary settlement. So writing to the Minister of Post-Secondary Education would be very worthwhile. Letters to the editor in support of settling fair and reasonable agreements that deal with inflation and job security are also helpful. So,
thanks very much for talking to us this morning, Doug.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
I've been speaking with Doug Spranger. He's a chairperson for the Canadian Union of Public Employees BC Universities Committee. If you'd like more information about some of the upcoming union struggles at campuses across BC, you can visit universitieswork.ca.